Welcome to the Ness Podcast, a podcast of the weekly preaching ministry of Ness Avenue Baptist Church, where we seek to equip people to love God and love others.
For our scripture reading this morning, I will be reading from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 11, from the ESV. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his people did not receive him. That's the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, welcome to my living room and now my preaching studio. As I mentioned last week, we decorated a little early this year as well. We thought we might as well. We're spending more time in here than usual anyway. The leading up to decorating day is always fun. As the Christmas baking begins, the eggnog is purchased, the old decorations are brought up out of storage. It's always fun to look through all those decorations from Christmas past. One of the kids have made, you know, those old decorations that were given to them, and even a few from Tanya and my childhood. I mean, those are real antiques and barely hold together anymore. They're crumbling away, but they still represent good memories. And of course, we have those old Ness Christmas Eve decorations from years past as well. And then, of course, there's the lights. I mean, the lights are up. We all love lights. And I've noticed that those old school multicolored lights are starting to make a big comeback over the last few years. It was just pure white bulbs for a long time. But now multicolored lights are acceptable once again. And it's quite hilarious because those lights totally remind me of being a kid at Christmas. Glowing every color of the rainbow, shining in blazing hot heat. I mean, if you sat too close to the tree, you could probably get a sunburn, and you certainly couldn't touch the bulbs after they had been on for any amount of time. I mean, remember that we used to have to put silver reflectors underneath the bulbs between them and the tree so that they didn't burn the house down and melt the tree. I mean, it's crazy what the governments let us do in those years. Tanya's Norwegian background actually used to use actual lit candles on real dried out trees. I guess people probably trusted their kids and their pets a whole lot more in those days than we do today. But we do love lights, don't we? It wouldn't be Christmas without them. We're drawn to them. They provide comfort, good feelings, and they really improve our overall mental health. We need light. We don't get enough of it here in Canada, so they say we should all be taking vitamin D just in order to stay healthy and to get as much light as we need to. Light is essential. We need light. And light is the theme of this passage that we have heard read this morning. Light actually comes up six times in these few verses, along with the words life and darkness. Light, life, darkness. So this must be important. Light. We need it. It exists. And how to connect to it. And that's what we want to look at today as we consider the passage that we just heard read from John 1, 1 to 11. So first of all, light, it exists. As you read through these passages that we have here before us this morning, you probably hear the Genesis motifs coming through. I mean, obviously John wrote this with the Genesis creation account in mind. And in verses 4 to 5, it says this: in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So here is something that all people need. But then in verse 10 to 11, it says that not all have received it. John is telling us that this light, it brings life, and it is in a struggle. It is a battle of darkness and light. The light of Jesus shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, is the word that's used. And that word overcome is sometimes translated as comprehend in some translations. And I think both meanings are in view here, overcome and comprehend. Now, the darkness could not overcome the light, and it could not even comprehend it. And what this means is that we as humans, we need the true light, but we are hostile to it, and we are basically clueless about it. Both hostile and clueless. So this is the Christmas theme here. We are showing in that sense that light has come into the world at Christmas time. This is what we're showing. This is why we put up lights. Light has come into this world. This is why we light the tree, light the house, light the fireplace and the candles, because light has come. Now, I don't know if you have light wars in your home. It's kind of like a rite of passage for every dad. You have to walk around turning the lights off in the house and telling everyone how much it costs to keep them on. And that one day, they too are going to have to pay the hydro bills, and then they will finally get it. Just for kicks, I took a look at how much it actually costs on your bill to leave your lights on. And if you have those old school bulbs, it's about 75, or it's actually 0.75 cents an hour. So that means that it could cost up to 6 cents to leave a light on overnight. I mean, now you know why dads get so worked up over these kind of numbers. Now, if you have those CFL bulbs, it's more like 1 cent. We don't need to let anyone know about that. Only 1 cent for a whole night. But the lights represent this true light that has come into the world. And that's why we decorate, and that's why we light everything up. And it's good to have all of these lights around us to remind us of that, actually. This is why in Matthew chapter 4, it quotes Isaiah chapter 9. It has this same theme. It says, "The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region, a shadow of death, on them a light has dawned." For those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. You see, this is what we walk in. And the message of Christmas is that we live in darkness, and we need a light that comes from outside of our world, outside of our existence, outside of humankind. It's not generated from within. Notice that it says in these verses from Matthew and Isaiah that a light has dawned. What does it mean that the world is a dark place? Well, darkness is always biblically represented evil and suffering. And we still say things that represent that, like, "I'm going through a dark time." And many of you will feel like that right now. You're in the midst of a dark time. I mean, bad things are going on in this first Christmas too. Herod is killing babies. Mary and Joseph have to flee. We already have refugees, genocide, grief, and mourning. This is what we have. I mean, it didn't start there, and it doesn't end there. It's in our world. It's all around us. There is a very real darkness. It also means that it's a place of ignorance. See, the darkness could not comprehend it. And we can't see reality because all of us are crowded and clouded by darkness. We don't have the ability to solve it. But our humanistic mindset thinks that we can do it. If we just muster up enough of it, we can find our way through it to find the light. If we have the right political party, if we have the right kind of people, it will happen, we say. I remember seeing an ad once that said that this company, they stood for the true meaning of Christmas, that love would triumph, and that we can put together a world of unity and peace. We have the light within us. But does that work? Has it ever worked? I mean, this is how people should think and live. Of course, it's the way we want to think and live, but it cannot bring about its reality. Because whatever you say is the thing that we need, half the population will say the opposite. I mean, I don't know if you've ever noticed this. Half the population says this one thing. The other half says, no, that's completely wrong. They will think of it as wrong. They will hate it, and they will protest against it. I mean, we have seen more of our fair share of this reality over this past year. Is this where our salvation lies? Because this is the opposite of the meaning of Christmas. We do not have what it takes within us. You know, we as humans, we cannot agree on a wholesale level of what needs to be done. There is a darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend the light. We need help. We need the true light to come from outside of ourselves. So that brings us to our second point, light. It exists. So what is the light that we've been talking about? Well, in verse 1 to 3, we are introduced to the Word. Now, no doubt you've heard a million messages on this before, if you've been in a Bible preaching church for any amount of time. In verse 14, John tells us very clearly that the Word is Jesus. He was with God and He is God. It doesn't say that He was a God. The article isn't there in the Greek. You know, once again, this is what Arius contended for at the Council of Nicaea, and other cults still do today. But He was with God and He is God, and we know this as the Trinity. You know, within the Godhead, there are three persons. Not one person, but three. Not three gods, but one. This is an intense, intimate relationship that is being described here, that is being revealed to us. And in Mark, Jesus tells His disciples to be with Him. It's a very intimate call that will encapsulate their whole life. You will be with me. Now, this relationship with the Godhead is from all eternity past when we think of this term with Him. Verse 18 says that the Son is actually at the Father's side. And the Greek word for this is in the bosom of the Father. Now that is a term that probably is way more intimate than what you might even imagine it to be. The Son is in the bosom of the Father. Now, how many people in your life right now, without any questions asked, could just come and lay down beside you and rest their head on you? No questions asked. You know, many people do not have any. Some people are fortunate to have one other. Others are fortunate to have a few. Is that not one of the most intimate gestures that there are? You are safe. You are secure. There's no pretenses. You're secure and you are affirmed. Now imagine three persons from all eternity, and it's all they knew. Perfect relationship, perfect unity, perfectly complete, needing nothing, ultimately fulfilled. This is what it means when it says that the Father, or that the Son, is at the Father's side. In John's letter, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, he says, "The message we have proclaimed is this, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." God has the perfection, we don't. And because He has the perfection of relationship, He is able to share it with us. He has the perfection of abundance, completely filled, completely satisfied. And because He has that, He can share that with us. You know, it's kind of like our food bank at the church. You know, sometimes we get in an excess of a certain food, more than we can even give away. And it's usually something you've never heard of or ever thought of buying, something that's just totally random. It's like for the history of our church, we have never given out or been generous with plum cots. But as a church, we have never had, given anyone a plum cot in the 50 years of our existence. Why is that? Because we've never had one, let alone had an abundance of them. But then suddenly last month, we found ourselves with like 1,000 pounds of them, and we were doing everything we could to give those things away. How can we give away more, we were thinking. Oh, you want one? Well, can we give you a whole box, is what we were saying. You know, because you can't be generous with something that you don't have. But when you have an overabundance of something, you make it your mission to give it away. You know what I mean? You make it your mission to give it away. God has this. He has been generous. And we can be now too. God created this world to share it. But how is an infinite God going to bring this generosity to finite people? We know He has it. We know He's being generous with it. But how is it going to come to finite people? And that brings us to our third point this morning from our passage, is light. How are we to connect to it? Well, in order for us to be able to connect to this light, there's something that God had to do and something that we have to do. You see, we are sinful. As the book of Romans made so clear, we were never satisfied. We were selfish. We kept trying to get more. And we hurt others in the process. This is a pattern that it just totally repeats itself the world over every day. Romans also told us that our sinfulness deserved punishment. It actually brings punishment. The horrible consequences of sin and its punishment are felt by all of us. We all see it and experience it. And one day, it says that punishment will become eternal. But verse 11 from our passage says that He came to His own and His own rejected Him. to the point of putting him to death. And in those moments of death, he was getting what we deserved. That would have destroyed us. God's wrath came against the sin of the world, and Jesus bore it for us. It should have come to us, but he stood in our place. He received the punishment, complete separation from his Father. A greater rejection we could never know. The rejection that we can relate to is finite. His was from infinity past. He was bearing the sin and the transgression and the darkness of the world. He did this so you could be forgiven and brought in. Well, what's the part that we have to do then? Well, let's consider this by looking at why Jesus is called the Word. And of course, you've probably heard many sermons and a lot of teaching on this, but the Greek word for word is logos. And this translated means logic or reason. And this was actually a philosophical word, this light, this logic, this reason, this word. It was philosophical. When philosophers came up with a concept or a view or even a worldview, you not only aligned yourself with the concept, but the reason for the concept. Now, we have kind of lost this step in our modern world. We align ourselves with concepts that we like the sounds of, but not the reason that is behind them. You know, we all know that we should love others, but why do you think that we should love others? What's the reason behind that concept? It's very difficult for some people to explain. Is it because it feels right? Is it because it's the right thing to do? Is it because it makes you feel better? Is it because it makes other people feel better? You see, a simple concept, even just like loving others, is not fully understood on a reason level by many modern people. You see, Jesus is the Word, the Logos, is a reason, and he's the right reason. You see, if you have a concept, but you have the wrong reason, it throws the idea way out of whack. It goes way off the rails if the reason is wrong. It's like if you use a chainsaw to carve your Christmas turkey, it's not going to end well. It can be done, but it's not advisable. You're going to have a greased, smeared turkey and a chainsaw gears filled with turkey bits. You see, you have to align yourself to the logos of that object or that concept. Now, the philosophers of John's time believed that we had a logos, that the world had a logos, and this is what they were searching for. This is so radically different than our world today. You know, this really is amazing, as it seems to me that today's world is all about concepts, but without the absence of reason or logos. But in John's day, they believed that if you could discern the logos and align your life with it, then life would go well. And then along comes John, and he revolutionizes all of this. He says that the logos is actually a person, the Word. The logos came to his own. He came to the ones that he made for himself. See, only when we know him will we arrive at our logos. What is the meaning? What is your meaning? How do you find meaning? See, this is why Jesus came. He didn't need a trip. He did this for you so that you could be brought into relationship with the Godhead, a relationship that lasts for all eternity, till everything is made right and beyond, till the darkness is fully eliminated and there is only light. This Advent season, will you give yourself to this logos, to this reason, to Jesus, the Word? This is why Jesus came. Not that he needed a getaway. He came to give you this. And if you will repent of your sin, and also your striving to find your own reason, and accept the Word that is made flesh, it will be all yours. Perfect rest, perfect peace, perfect hope. Not just for now, but for all eternity. This is the light of Advent. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much that you sent your Son into this world to be the light, to show us who you are, what you have done for us. And we thank you that you came into this dark place, a place that didn't fully comprehend or understand who you were and what you were doing, but you show us so clearly. Thank you that you are the light. And Lord, you are the light in our life. And I pray that as we are walking through darkness, in dark times even, that we would see the light and the hope of Jesus Christ, and that it would light our hope and our eternity and our future. And it would fill us with so much of an abundance that we would be able to share it with those who are around us. If we don't have something, we can't share it. But if we have something in abundance, we can share it generously. And so may we be generous with the light, the love, the hope that we have in Jesus Christ this Advent season. Thank you for providing it for us in a perfect way. In Jesus' name, amen.
And so as we anticipate this Advent season, this is what we are anticipating. So light your lights with vigor. If you have to leave them on overnight, that'll be okay during the Advent season. I'm sure we can afford that. So light it up, and let's remember that what it says in verse 9, that the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. And this is why we have a hope that is unwavering. So let us go into this week and let's share with that overabundance. We talked about the abundance of love that God had, that he was able to share it with us. And now because we have received it, we are able to share it with those who are around us. What a good message that is for us in these days. So God bless and have a great week.
Ness Avenue Baptist Church, seeking to love God and love others.